tonight we'll talk about the power of God.
And this is an interesting one. I think we're going to do this one a little bit more interactive, because when you think about, like, you know, a little bit like, talk back a little bit to me. Like, when you think about power, how is really power defined? Can you give me some ideas or any thoughts on how is power defined? Or how can you, how would you, like, if you were talking to children or to someone else and you're trying to define power, how is power defined?
Leader.
Hmm?
A leader.
Okay, a leader, a person. Okay, so that would be a person's power. Okay, so that's like power in the sense of, that's good, like over something. What else?
Strong.
Strong, okay. And so I'll play devil's advocate here. I say strong, okay. And I'm, you know, and I'm her youngest son here, and I say, I'm strong.
I would say, are you Captain America?
Mm-hmm. So, okay, and he would say Captain America, and you'd have to think about that. But so what about Captain America would create the right image for him?
He likes Captain America.
Right, but what about Captain America would create
has
the...
muscles.
Okay, muscles. And what do we know about muscles? But how do we define, how do we know that? So it's just somebody with muscles, if I, makes me strong, but why? What do muscles say about a person?
They work out.
That's true. And how are they working out?
With weights.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get at. When we think of power, we are usually thinking of it in a relative sense. Okay? Like, just like he could say, I'm strong. And we would smile and pat him on the head because in our mind, we know he's not powerful. Because relatively speaking, we are more powerful than he is. But Captain America would be more powerful than we are. Why? Because of what he can do. And basically, his muscles are strong because of what he can lift. We go into a gym and we can look at the more powerful or the strong people based upon what they can lift. And it's, you know, and really muscles in our mind relate to the ability to lift. And what are they lifting? They are lifting weights. Weights define the power. So that's what we're talking about. So Father, just bless these words and speak to us tonight about your all-powerfulness. In your son's name, amen. When we think of God, we talked last week about infinitude, everywhere and all things, measureless. The other thing that is measureless for him is his power. When God lifts something, he doesn't need to recover, right? He doesn't lift it and say, okay, give me a second. You know what I mean? We don't say, okay, God, I ask you this for today because this might take you a while, right? We expect that he could do it instantaneously and with all power. Simple. We say he's powerful. It is an attribute that we must absolutely know within our hearts at all times, ladies. It is something that carries us, the idea that in a day that I can know that there is one who has all power. Because the one thing I can know is that I do not. Now, a child who says, I'm powerful, or what have you, or runs around like we did when we were younger and we put towels on the back of our necks and we had, we were Wonder Woman, I'm dating myself, but I was Wonder Woman and we had Superman, we're running around, although I heard she's coming back, and I heard, you know, that would be great, I liked her a lot, but running around and, you know, you're running around and you're like with this, idea that you're more powerful, right? We're jumping off of things. The idea is that it's relative. The fact is that I am stronger than the average person. That gives me power. Well, God is more powerful than all of that. So in a situation, when a situation seems impossible. The thing that gives us hope is the fact that we have an all-powerful God. Hopelessness is only relieved from us from the idea that God is all-powerful. There are many thoughts about this idea, this reality. And one is that, for instance, if I go to you for help, you may have the ability to help me, but you may not be willing to help me. Or you may be willing to help me, but you may not have the ability to help me. Now, we talk about the character and nature of God, and we mean that he has the ability and he has the nature. And says Susan Staparo home. Somebody calling from. Okay, it says so when we think about like a character and nature of God, it is to say that he has the ability and he's willing. And we are going to definitely talk more about the willingness of God to help, but right now we're talking about the ability of God. Otherwise, if I say I need your help, Lorraine, and you say, you know what, Latasha, I would love to help you, but I'm unable to. The thing about God, I don't know that we always consider, but it's important that we would consider it, and that's because it's important that we tell that to other people, and we tell that to people around us, and we tell that to the kids, to children, is that, okay, he's able. It's a very simple three words. God is able. Because it is what we sing on a Sunday. I love to sing. I'm very particular about worship songs because I don't really like a lot of songs that talk about me. I'm going to do this. Because I know me. And I know I've screwed up a lot. And I know I can screw up a lot. So why would I want to go to church to sing about me? I surrender all. I haven't. You know, I mean, there are days that I've surrendered nothing. You know, but we're not going to get up there and sing about that. Right? But to say that he is all in all. Now that is a reality on a good or a bad day. It doesn't change because that's what all power looks like. All power looks like on Sunday or Thursday, I can still make the same statement. But all power is not in me because on Sunday I may praise him. On Thursday, I may not even be looking at him. He only one is all powerful, and that is God himself. Only one is able. I was talking to someone today, and they were asking me, they were telling me, you know what, they discovered some things about themselves, and they were really, like, uptight about it. And, you know, I was just listening and listening, and they're like, so what do you think? And I said, I even had stopped half paying attention, and they're like, waiting for this big, what do you think? I think, well, I think you'll have to wait for God to change you. No, I need a better answer than that. I'm like, that can't be the answer. That's not a practical answer. I said, if that's not a practical answer, then my whole life is a lie. Because the one thing I've come to know, the more and more I grow as a Christian, is that I am weak. That I don't have the great ability to change myself. That I just don't have it in me. If I could have, then I could have saved myself and I wouldn't have needed Christ. For, I mean, if I could do all of those things, why even be a Christian? And I didn't become a Christian to all of a sudden... I didn't say, okay, Christ, thanks for saving me. I'll take it from here. Because it doesn't work that way. I need him to perfect me. He saved me. Now I need him to perfect me. And only he can do that. That's his power. I can't perfect me. Within my flesh dwells a lot of no good things. And that's really, and Paul said it well. In our flesh dwells no good things. Okay, but at the same time, God is in me, and he's all good and all powerful. So if any change is going to, the only reason I'm different today than if you knew me 10 years ago is because God has changed me. It's just the way it is. God has made my heart soft, Job said. Only God can do that. God is the only one that can, you know, do things like that. He's the only one that made the disciples into apostles. He's the only one that takes Peter from doubt, from denying him into the leader of the church. You think a man can change himself like that? Absolutely not. So, you know, as I was talking with her, I'm like, listen, all power resides in one person. Only one. He is all powerful. And guess how his power, the more I, let's say this, the more I kind of despise my own personal sin or my own personal weaknesses, and actually the more you mature, the more you see it. And that's what I told her, the older you get, the more you see your weakness. Just like this little boy will say, I'm strong. It's just because he doesn't know what strength is. He really doesn't. Just like maybe I could say, I meet people on the street, we're telling them about Christ, and you meet them on the street around the world, and they say, I'm not a bad person. Well, that's just because you don't know what good is. Because until you really know what good is, then when you know really what good is, then you know how bad you really are. And then, and that's one of the reasons, that's why we became Christians. We knew we could not save ourselves. If the standard is perfection, then I couldn't reach it. Now, the more I get closer, the funny thing is, the closer I get to that standard by God changing me, the more I realize how far away I have really been. You know? Like, you know, as a young man, the same little boy is going to absolutely laugh at the fact that he thought he was strong. And then when he gets older, even more so. Okay? The more knowledge I get, the more understand, you know, the old saying, it is a wise man who knows he's a fool. The wisest of all men knows he's a fool. And if, you know, if you kind of, if you rebuke a wise man, he will actually love you. He will increase in learning. Because meaning if you correct him, he understands that, hey, I needed this because I was so far from it. Now, how does this relates to God? Because God is all of these things. And honestly, how I know that God is who he is actually, it's one of the attributes of God that I believe that is best understood in relation to me. Now, remember, we talked about I get to know me by getting to know God. Well, I get to know all power. And then I get to know the fact that I don't have all power. So I relate to me. And God does this on a daily basis. This is what he does. He says, Latasha, I want you to know that I'm all powerful. Yes, God, I know you're all powerful. No, Latasha, I really, really want you to know that I'm all powerful. I believe you're all powerful, God. Okay. I know that you only know it in this moment. So what I have to do is I have to weaken you. Because when I weaken you, Latasha, then you really know what power is. So I bring the trials in your day. I bring the situations in your day. I bring the things that make life rough for you. And I do that because that weakens you. I allowed you to sin. I didn't want you to, but I allowed that sin to happen because you would be face to face with your own ability to walk correctly. That is how you recognize I'm all powerful. That's how you really see where my power is. And that's how you really cling to my power, because you don't trust your own self anymore. But see, to the degree that if God leaves me alone, so to speak, if God just says, okay, that's great, you said I'm all powerful, sing the song, listen to me. If he leaves me alone, I will never get to know that. If he doesn't show, he actually, to increase my idea of his power, he has to decrease my strength. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Like, to increase my idea of his power, he has to decrease my strength. Because otherwise, I don't really think so much about his power, because I got it. I took care of it. I can handle it. Mm-hmm. I got this. But all put me in a situation where I'm like, oh my gosh, I need you, God, here. I need you to help me. I need your strength here. Then all of a sudden, he's all powerful, right? And kids, they're like this. The older they get, there's a one period of time, you know, and I've taught all age groups, and there's a certain age where they kind of ping pong. You know, they don't really want you, you know, they kind of don't, and you see this, and they get less and less, they want kind of your help. And like, I got this kind of thing. And you know they don't have it, but you got to let them fail. Because they like, and then, but all of a sudden they fail, and they're running to you, like, oh, no, fix this. But, you know, 5 minutes ago, they got it. And it's this ping pong thing you have to let happen because they're in the middle of really learning their own personal weakness. And they have to discover that. And it's kind of a personal journey. And God knows that for all of us, it's a personal journey, you know, where we personally realize our own weakness. Because we all personally, she was saying to me, she said, no, you don't get it. I am weak about these things. And normal people are not. I'm like, oh, normal people. I was like, okay, I'm sorry, where do they live? In normal town? Because I'd like to go visit them. Is there a museum where I could see them? Because last I checked, every person is weak in some area and strong in another area. And for Christianity, it works backwards. We're strong in areas we shouldn't be and weak in areas we should be. Meaning like, God doesn't mind our weakness here because he's provided strength to us, but we're strong over here and we got this. And God's trying to weaken us so that he can be our strength. You know, so you're over here thinking like, oh, I have to like, I should be more strong. And I'm telling you, you're at the beginning, at this moment, of your greatest discovery of God's power in this area that you don't like about yourself. You're right at the beginning of this area, of your greatest sense of discovery of God's power that will take you to a new level of maturity. Because then when you talk to others or when you're in a situation, it will show on your face that there's something more than you there. That it's not just Latasha's strength anymore. Something's different about her. The situation blew up. This is whatever. But it's not about her anymore. I sense it. I sense it when I talk to her. And that's because she's been weakened. He's weakened my strength in the way. By weakening my strength, I get his. Paul, we know this in 2 Corinthians 12. He talked about this. He said, you know what? It was a discovery for him. And let's just look at that. And we're going to look at just a few portions. Because it's an interesting thing. We resist this a lot in 2 Corinthians 12. We resist it a lot because we think that it's this battle with the world that we have. The world says, buck up, be strong, have it all together. And God says, you're not strong, you don't have it together, and I am going to make sure you know that. And we're like, what? It's exactly, you know, and we play this game every day, right? Every day we battle between the two. And God says, I'll take care of you. And so this is what he says. So Paul says, he says, listen, in verse 7, and he says, listen, there was given to me, in the second part, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Like Paul said just before that, he goes, man, I've been given some great visions from God. It's amazing or whatever. And then all of a sudden God came along and gave him this thing. And this thorn, this thing. We don't understand what that means, but we can imagine when you think thorn, anybody ever have a thorn in their hand? Mm-hmm. I once, this is a true story, had a thorn in my finger and I didn't know it. And it was about this size. And it was inside my hand. I don't know how it got there, but because I never dealt with it, the skin had closed over again. But I would have pain in my finger, and I couldn't figure out why. I'm like, this thing hurts. And it would bother me. And one day, I just was like, began playing with it, and I finally pulled back the skin, and out pops a thorn this big. Gosh. And I was like, utter relief when this thing popped out. You know, and close back over, and it's fine, you know, to this day, but I understand, you know, it's like that pebble in the shoe, that you can only go on so far, you're like limping, it totally weakens you, right? Here I am, strong person, small pebble, you know what I mean? And I'm like, and you're just kind of hobbling, you're trying to figure this out, you're shaking your shoe, shaking my shoe a lot, shake it again, trying to get rid of it. Or a splinter, we all know what that's like. And this little splinter, and I can spend hours on this little splinter, and it can like drive you batty, you know, because you got to find it, try to pull it out. Well, that's what Paul said he had. Here's this great man, and he said that God gave me it. And he said, and I asked God 3 times to take it away. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Now, what do you mean, God? Your strength's not perfect? No. My strength is perfect, but your revelation of it, your understanding of it is made perfect in your weakness. The weaker you get, the more you know about my power. The weaker you get, the more of me comes into you. The weaker you get, the more you see me. You really see me. And he says, so gladly will I therefore glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest on me. In Psalm 61, you know, he says, once have I heard it, twice it has been declared to me that the power belongs to God. And there is this part of us, and this is what I told this young woman today. It's like, listen, you know, in Isaiah 41, it's very important. It's like that we have to renew our strength, so to speak. If we wait upon the Lord, we renew it. Now, is it really our strength that's being renewed? No, it's actually more of it's strength, but it's a replacement, if you will. It's God's strength that comes in place of my own. And I am more, and then I have all power in that situation. It's when all of a sudden I have all power in the situation. And I am able to see an all-powerful God. But he says, now, in verse 10, I take pleasure in my infirmities, and in my reproaches, and my necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That is interesting. I mean, that's actually Isaiah 40 with the other verse. But it's like, it's when I'm weak, I'm strong. And it's Isaiah 40 verses, and he said in verse 29, he gives power to the faint, and to them that has no might, he increases strength. An all-powerful God, I will never really understand. I can say it all I want that God is all-powerful, and it's important to say, because then I know that there's only one source that I can go to when I'm hurting, when I have a situation that's most desperate. I know that God may, and he will make sure that that he is the only one who can help me out. God will create situations in our lives that no one else can help us out. And we were kind of jokingly serious about, you know, like a house. It can be like this trap. You know, car is no different. And all of a sudden you get to a place where financially, you know that if all of these things happen at the same time, you're sunk. And God will get us into a situation and we will feel very sunk. And all we can do is say, help, Lord. And that is something the unsaved person cannot do. But we can. God will get us a position even, and children should learn that, you know, like a child should know you can get to a place in school and say, help, Lord, you know, and God comes in. And God will provide the, like a child should develop that part in their life right now. Because early on, I remember vows that I made with God as a child. I remember one particular one in this one class. And I just was like, okay. And everybody was doing this one thing to get strength. I was 12 years old, and they were all taking, at that time, it was called Vivarin. I don't know if it's still out there. But it's a caffeine pill. And it was precursor, basically, to getting hooked on drugs. And they were all taking this because we had these exams. And they were overwhelming. There was no way that anybody normally should be able to, do well in these exams. And they were exams at 12 years old. They were, because I was in ninth grade, and they were intense, the school I was going to. And I remember thinking, that can't be right, but I can't do this. There's no way I can do this. And I thought, and I remembered, you know what? Okay. And that's the key. Why we train children now, why we want to get these kids in school is we want them to, when they get to that moment, we want them to what? Remember, if you put nothing in the tank, they have nothing to pull from the tank. You put it all in the tank, so in that moment, they have something to remember. I remembered that, oh, I could ask God. But that's crazy. I remember this whole thought, but I just know there's no other way. And I did. And I asked God. And I said, I need your help. I'm not going to take these pills, but I need your help. And he gave it to me, and I remember he gave me strength. And I studied, and somehow I had enough energy to study what I should, and I did okay on the exams. And I never forgot that. Remember, that's 12 years old. How many years later? What, decades later? Okay? Because it was a, because that was a fresh remembrance and a real remembrance, a personal remembrance of the power of God. And it only could be realized because I was weak. I cannot, I don't, if you come away with nothing else from tonight, you cannot realize this attribute of God unless you realize your own weakness. You just can't. It's not one you discover any other way. I cannot get to God's power except through my weakness. It's a funny thing, because it's you could, because it's just, I won't get there. So the world doesn't accept that God created the created them, because they don't realize that they're created, that they're weak, that they couldn't do it themselves. That's what evolution is somehow the universe could do it themselves. We could start from a cell, it could go, keep going, and it could create itself, right? It's all about self-sufficiency. Only one person, one being is self-sufficient, and that's God. And he has all power. So until the world recognizes its own weakness, which is what the book of Revelation say will happen, and they will be forced to, but until they recognize their own weakness, they cannot recognize God's power. Until I recognize my own weakness in a situation, I cannot recognize God's power. But when I do, it becomes a very precious, not just memory, but experience for me. And so when I did that at age 12, it gave me strength and power to believe him for other things. You build upon that, and we build that. And so it says in verse 30 of Isaiah 40, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. God is going to take the strength away. He brings everyone, I don't care what age, to your point where you cannot lift it, when you cannot lift that weight. Sometimes we think, oh, I caused this or whatever. Honestly, God caused it. He caused it. And that's actually, it wasn't Psalm 61, Psalm 62:11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. The power belongs to God. And I was thinking, there was a great portion where Paul says to, he's speaking to the Corinthians church in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, and he says, I was with you in weakness and in much trembling. And he says, and my preaching, my speaking, they weren't with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Paul said, I was a wreck. And we know what that can be like. I was a wreck, he said, but you, I was a wreck, but you got God's power. I can be a wreck, but people can get God's power. Oh, that people would get God's power from us and not our natural strength, because only God's power has the ability to change things for permanence. Only God's power can be lasting. Oh, that for children, that they would not get my strength. Oh, that they would get God's power, because that's what they will remember. They'll remember that more than anything. Susanna Wesley had 17 children, and all of them, she was able to have a special time with them about God, and they would spend the time individually, and she would just kind of teach them a little bit about God, like a devotional time. 17. That's amazing to me. You think she could do that? Who could do that in their own power? Nobody. And there are no good moms, no offense. But I remember, I'll never forget this, I was on a plane, this was like, I don't know how many years ago, on my way to Uganda, and where, you know, that's very much celebrated, you know, motherhood. And I'm on the plane, I'm watching this documentary National Geographic thing about moms. Not moms, human being, moms, animals. And after I watched that, I was like, oh my gosh, human beings are the worst moms in the world. You read about an octopus who literally gives of herself so that each one of these baby ones could have a chance. So there's a point where she's hiding with them, whatever, and they begin to eat her body for substance. And that is how they survive. She finally dies, and they live. So any octopus you see understood that the mother gave everything in every sense of the word. And there were so many stories that I began reading. I forgot, that's the only one that comes off the top of my head right now. But I was like, man, we are nowhere in comparison to being a good mom. So I'm like, and human beings are the ones who don't naturally, like, we need, like, how do I do this? Some new thing comes up. How do I handle this? It's just not necessarily there. So these animals literally give everything. So God did that on purpose, that I would be weak in him, so that I would get strength from him, because it's really the power of God that should raise children. Mm-hmm. Inside a vessel called a mom and a dad, right? Mm-hmm. It's really the power of God that should teach. You don't want a teacher out there who is just like out to lunch. When I was in China, that was one of the discussions, and I think I said this, like, mom's telling me she puts our children in public school because it's a good education. And I said, well, we're pulling our kids from public schools because we want to know exactly what's being said in the classroom. And that was an anomaly. I mean, that was interesting to her. So she's like, what? So you could take them out of a good school? I said, and I was basically trying to explain, like, it's really your definition of good. Well, like, for us, if the child comes out godless and twice a child of Satan but has an A average, that is not success. Success for us, a good school or a good teacher, is the one that is instilling the values and morals that we want instilled in them. And we will pull them out of any school as a Christian if that is not being done. It doesn't matter what their supposedly what their SAT scores are, because you're going to have an atheist as a child. Now the child will be a smart devil and go to hell. You know, like, okay, great, good job. But I realized that that's not the thing that's being, you know, over there being taught. And I said, that's crazy, because that's dangerous. That's dangerous. The power of God, I want a teacher that has the power of God in them for what they're doing. I want anyone interacting with children. I want a pastor. I want Pastor Jay to come with the power of God. I'm not really interested in Pastor Jay's opinions. I want the word of God through him, the vessel as the pastor teacher. You know, and that's what I want. That's what I want in our communication with each other, is God. But that all power comes from him. But if you get me, you get the weakness of man. You get whether I've had a good day or a bad day. We all know what that's like. You know, you get that. And that's not, that, there's nothing edifying or lasting about that. You know? But the power of God says, Latasha, you could have an incredibly crappy day, but what you will give out, like I can say in a second, God, more power. And then to the person that I need to minister to, they will never see that. All they got was God. That's that, honestly, and I'm telling you, after however many travels and different places and different environments, when you've got nothing, you pray for that. You pray for that. And I'm saying that I don't believe it's any less or more. Amy and I were talking on Sunday. That any less or more, as a, whether you're a spiritual mom or a biological mom, it's the same God that we need to go to in weakness. And it's the same God that has to, is the only one with the answer. It's the same God when the finances are low, and whether they're low here or anywhere around the world, or when the, you know, however what's going on in the world around us in our relationship, it's the same God. And, you know, I'll close with this, but it was interesting. I immediately thought of this, but it's in 1 Kings in chapter 20. And we'll just close with this thought. Now the Syrians, in verse 27, says the children of Israel were numbered and were all present, and they were ready to fight the Syrians. It says the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. So they had their two little flocks of goats, okay? And it says the Syrians filled the country. All right, so here they are. You can imagine this. And they are looking around, and it's Syrians they see everywhere. And thus, therefore, a man of God came. And I want to go back before we read this, because they said, we're going to go up. The Syria is going to come against you. And the servants in verse 23 said unto the king of Syria, their gods are the gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. but let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. In 1 Kings 20:23. You know, it's like, surely we will be stronger than they. So they're sitting there thinking, the Syrian army gets together, and they go out, and like I said, Israel's like two little flocks of goats sitting there, and the Syrian army is sitting all around them. And they're like, this is it. This is it. And this is what happens. And what we said at verse 20, and there came a man of God, and he spake unto the children of Israel. And he said, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore, why I deliver all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Okay, and he did it. And they, you know, they pitched over against them. There were 100,000 of the Syrian footmen, and the children of Israel slew them in one day. What was the problem here? Why was God upset? Why was God upset?
Because they limited him.
Right, and what did they say?
That he was only the God of the plain, but not the mountain.
No, he was the God of the what?
He's the God of the mountains, but not the valley.
Right. Now, for us, when we think of a mountain, what does that mean? He's the God of the
good times.
He's the God of the good times. Your God, people in your families who are not saved, or maybe even people who just haven't followed God, well, you know, they may say that. You know, what are you talking about? Like, your God, you know, it's fine when the things are going well, right? But as soon as things go bad, what do they begin to say? Like they said of Christ, where is your God now? Let him deliver you. But Syria, they even did a bigger mistake. They said, your God is the God only of the mountains, the good times. So they said, we fought them there and they were too strong. Your God is the God of a Sunday. You guys on Sunday, you have big smiles on your faces. Your God is the God of Sunday. Your God is not the God of the bad times. So God came in and told them, told the prophet to say, listen, because they said that, I'm coming after them. And he came after them in full force. Now, and he made a big show of it. And the reality here is what God is saying is that you want to set God off? You dare talk about his lack of strength for his people. You want to set him off? You tell him that there's an impossible situation when it comes to his people. He says, is anything too hard for me? That's what he said to Jeremiah. Nothing's too hard for you. That's what also Abraham said, there's nothing too hard for you. Nothing. You know? He just said, there's nothing there. And it's interesting because we can easily say, oh my gosh, let me just give you that verse. Because she said, I can't. And yeah, is anything too hard for the Lord in Genesis 18:14? Because she said, I can't have a child. There's no way. And they've been waiting and waiting and waiting. The bottom line is that God loves to display his power when it seems that he has none. Does that make sense? Like when it seems like I don't think that God has the power in my life to do things. When it seems like situation, he loves to display that attribute. That attribute of God is something he loves to display. He loves it when we sing about it. What will we be singing about in heaven? We will be also singing about his power. It will be on display. We will see it. And faith basically is not seeing what we know to be true, that God is all-powerful. Because when we get to heaven, we won't need faith anymore. We will already see it. But we know this to be true. That's what faith is. And God loves to display it. So God is going to do this for the rest of this year, next year, until you and I go to be home with him. Expect there to be weakened conditions. You read about the Apostle Paul. This is a man of weakness. You read about Christ. Christ was a man of weakness. But why was that? He even had to ask God to strengthen him at different times, like in Gethsemane. Because reality is, that's when God's strength gets to be on display. And you and I will only realize that then. And that those who want to push a point and they want to pick at us, so to speak. Satan wants to push at us. Remember, it is Satan who will say that your God is the God of the mountains only and not the valley. And it is our God who will respond to him. We need only look up and say, our God reigns. Our God is able. Our God is all powerful. Our God. It's a simple thing. It started age, you know, whether it's age 12 or age 4, but our God. Like, we love superheroes because there's something in us that wants to believe that something is all powerful. You know, I understand that I like superheroes myself. I like the idea of that because it strengthens me that there is one who is more powerful, not just more powerful, but all powerful. So that's like this attribute, we want to keep this one tucked right here. Because and because God is going to keep weakening us, and we need to know that. And it's, why is he weakness? Otherwise, the only strength I'll ever get to know before I die is my own. And that's what the whole world knows. The whole world knows their own strength. That's it. That's not good enough. I want a life that's different, and I want to know that I give a life out to others around me that's different. Because really, I'm not honoring them if I don't. I'm giving them nothing. They don't need me. The world doesn't need me. People, my relatives, my friends, they don't need me. They need a big God inside of me. And if they get that, they've got everything. Amen.
Amen.
Very good.
God bless us. Any comment? Any comment or question?
I have repeatedly seen God's strength in my life. I went through a very dark time. I was molested when I was 8 by a neighborhood boy, and that neighborhood boy raped me when I was 11.
Same boy.
My father's way of handling it was to take a shotgun down to his house and say, "You even look at my daughter again, and this is what you get." At that time, it was like in the early 80s, Dad didn't believe in therapy or anything like that. He just said, "We're not pressing charges because I'm not going to put you through it again." And I said, "Okay, Dad." And then we moved to Germany and all different places. And I just went through a very dark, dark time. I was a Christian. I was a Christian since I was 8. But many times during that time, I would hold the knife to my wrist, but I couldn't cut it. It would just be there. And finally, when I was 28 years old, I went to a Christian doctor, and he discovered that I was bipolar. And he said to me, he said, "If you, Betty Ann, if you were not a child of God, you would be dead by now." That's sobering information when you're 28. And so I went back to church. I got involved. I have a mentor that I talk to quite often who's been a Christian a lot longer than me. And things got better. Then I lost my husband. He died 5 years ago. And then 2 months after he died, my prolactin was high, so they had me do an MRI to test for pituitary tumors, and they found 2 brain aneurysms. So the same year that he died, I was going through 2 brain surgeries a month apart. And I never thought I'd make it, but I did, because of God, because I relied completely on him. And it has been that way many times. When I moved up here from Florida, I couldn't get my medicine refilled, and I couldn't get in to see a psychiatrist. So I learned what it was like to pray without ceasing, because I finally had the image that here I feel like I'm holding on by a thread, and I thought, well, all I have to do is let go, because God's got me. And then recently, I lost vision in my right eye suddenly. They whisked me back to the back of the emergency room when I went in, and my son, like, he was there with a friend of mine. So 1 minute his mom was standing there, and the next minute his mom was, and because they thought I was having a stroke. they found out that I had a mini stroke in the eye and I had a hole in my retina, but that's all been fixed. But my son came back and I was filled with peace, even in the midst of the hospital being poked and prodded and blood taken out and all that stuff. My son was quivering, his little lip was quivering, and so I took his face in my hands and I said, "Son, I'm in God's hands and those are the best hands to be in." "Okay, Mommy." You know, he's such a brave little boy. He's been through so much. He was only 3 and a half when his dad died. And then his mom went through this scary period recently. But, you know, I knew that nothing bad could happen to me because God was in control. And he showed me that time after time after time, just when I thought I couldn't do any more. He gave me the strength to just keep going, you know. And I keep going now because I have a son that he's given me that's my job to raise, you know. And I'm thankful that my son is a very good little boy. He's a Christian. He came to know the Lord when he was 5. And after he came to know the Lord, he's like, "Do I get to see Daddy in heaven now?" I said, "Yeah, you do." "Oh, right," you know. So but, you know, every once in a while when I think everything's going fine, out of the blue, he'll ask me a question about his dad. And it's like, oh. But God always gives me the answer to give him. And if I don't know the answer, I'll say, "You know what, son? I don't have a clue." I said, "But luckily we have a grandpa who studied the word a lot longer than I have, and we can ask him what he thinks. And then he'll tell us where to find it in the Bible, and we can find it on our own." So, but, you know, I just look back and I see, it's like the footprints poem. Mm-hmm. I see where he carried me through all that time. And I'm very grateful for each time that he's carried me, because it's made me who I am today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those attributes that I don't care what stage you are, that you can absolutely, like, you can say, like, I know exactly what, you know what I mean? You're like, Because it's, like I said, it's very personal. It's not one of those. It's a very personal one. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, if I didn't believe in God's power, you know, like, you know, and each story is a miraculous story, right? Mm-hmm. You know, each one is like, because that's how God wants to do it. It's always a miracle. It's always a miracle. He's the ultimate suspense movie. You know what I mean? God, he's going to make it so that I see, because that's the only reason way I will know that it's all him. Otherwise, somehow, in my own little mind, I'll figure out a way to say it might, you know, wasn't for my quick thinking, you know, it wasn't for my, you know, you're in the hospital with an aneurysm, double aneurysm, there's no, like, and actually, you know, at that point, you begin to lose faith in, like, the idea of, like, oh, what the, but a good doctor, no, that's a difficult thing. It's either God or it's not.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no, like, in between. It's either God or it's not. And I think God has to bring each one of us to the, it's either me or it's not. Like, either I'm, like,
yeah.
Where I'm like, yeah, this thing is way too heavy for me to carry. You know?
Yeah.
So, those are great. That's why I said this one's more mentally interactive. Like, I'm sure even as I was talking, you're going through different things in your mind. And I think we have to rehearse that, because I think we're, like, moving more into a day and age. I think all of this, we have to rehearse it. We have to rehearse it with the next generation, because we are, like I said last week, Pennsylvania made the decision of who's going to become president. I mean, that's quite remarkable to me. So I think that God did that on purpose, because there are, as much as there are whatever, you can have the liberal, there's something about, there are those here, every country has a remnant, and it's interesting, and I believe that that's one of the reasons why we're here now, and what have you, and there's a remnant here, and these are the things that we, we need to rehearse with ourselves. Mm. It says that they, there's a great verse that talks about that they spake one another with themselves. Where's that verse? Who knows that verse? They often, I know you're jetting. See you guys. But they, anybody know where that verse is? Often. It said, just talks about Christians speaking often one another with themselves. Huh? Speak often. Oh. Yes. And they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another.
Yeah.
So that's what this. Good night.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
It said, and the Lord heard them and he listened to them. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord.
Yeah.
And that thought upon his name. It's a great verse. I think this kind of stuff will be important for us to like to do that.
What was the first?
Yeah. Malachi 3:16. You know, sometimes we could think of this as being small or whatever, and we don't realize that this may be what holds a country. We have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I do know that God is in the habit of, if Abraham can be the difference in two cities, then it can be just a small group of Christians that can be the difference in a country. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, two countries, actually. If he can be the difference there, then that's how God sees things. So that's why I think there's always going to be a big attack on us, because the attack is not on the people in the world. The attack is not even on carnal Christians. The attack of the things that, you know, really want to get us down and hit us at all angles, whether relationships, finances, whatever. The attack is on the Christians who are a remnant, because if Satan can get us distracted, then he wins.
Mm.
You know, he wins. Because he's already got the other people, he doesn't need to distract them. They're already distracted by their own lusts. You know, you don't distract the distracted. Why spend your time on the distracted? Distract those who seem to actually be wanting God, wanting more of him, whatever, who God is like, really, we are holding the others up, you know, and giving them opportunity. So why would you distract the other people? You distract the ones who, you know, who are not distracted, and because heaven is really, is moved by our prayers, by our walk, by our effort. And earth is also moved by these things. So that's why, just seemingly, oh well, we're just talking about the attributes of God, well, we believe in God, well, there will come a time, as I saw in some of these other places, where these simple things are not being believed, and they're not being passed on, and they're not being celebrated. And we have already seen the Bible shows about a nation that forgets God. Israel did that, and they became no more. And that's why God repeatedly told Israel, every time, talk about it with your young people when they wake up, when they're around day, you know, during the day, when you're walking and talking, rehearse these things one to another. Rehearse these things, because otherwise you'll forget them, because your faith will go away, and you won't be living the unseeable. You know, we'll forget, we'll forget to look at what can't be seen. You know, so this is stuff's important, and I was just really blessed by the fact that God's, you know, it's the interesting thing is, oh, how do I get to know God's power? And then all of a sudden you get a trial, and you're like, I wanted to know your power. Oh, you will. Oh, you will. Yeah, you know God's power because you know you couldn't get through this situation, or this thing comes up, and you're going to remember it like she does. How do I get to know God's power? Well, a couple of aneurysms later, you get to know God's power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we can say, oh, okay. But really, God's like, I want to show you me. I have to weaken you. But Paul, one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, God said, I want you to know my power. But you could only know my... If Paul had to be weakened by God, then how much more am I going to have to be weakened by God? You know? Mm-hmm. But it's good to know also that there's an actual plan involved. Who wants to be weakened for, you know, for malicious... That's why the character and nature of God have to go with the attributes. You can... I mean, if I know something... There's also one... There's Captain America all power, right? And then there's, like, Darth Vader all power, right? You know what I mean? Like... That kind of all power scares the living daylights out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's all power meant to destroy me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for us, we know that he's not just all powerful. He's all power not to destroy me, but for my good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could be a part B. Who knows? Maybe next week we'll talk about it. Because you can't really, I can't separate the two. Or I have a character like every horror movie shows.
Mm-hmm.
And a more powerful being that usually is set to destroy me. Or maybe not to destroy me, is just about their own power, which inadvertently destroys me. Like, they don't care, like, you know, God still doesn't care about who's in his way, you know. Like, but God's power is, the beauty of God's power is that it's actually directed toward my favor.
Mm.
You know?
Amazing.
That's the part that's amazing. Like, I can sit here and have a 12-year-old and go, help, I can't be like, okay, oh my God. You know, like, I'm like, at the 12-year-old God, I just knew I could ask him, you know? I knew I could ask him. That means that I, like, children generally know the character of God. They know that they can ask, you know? It's only when we become adults that we have to actually be taught the character of God, because when we've seen a lot of character, because children are kind of innocent, they kind of thinking humans and God are pretty close, and like, their parents are so... Oh, that wasn't very nice. Like Mary would say, that was mean. Like there was sudden, that was shock. She was shocked there could be meanness, you know? And the dog, we're like, oh, everyone's mean. So we have to learn that God is not mean. Because we're like, oh, they're all mean. What are you talking about? But as a parent, you don't say that. Or as a teacher, you don't say, oh, the whole world's mean. You know, it's like, okay. We're like, yeah, that was mean. And but they're in shock. She was mean to me. I was like, oh, that's sad, you know? But God is not mean. He's kind and powerful. You know? Kind and powerful. Cool, right? Mm-hmm. Amen.
Natasha, you said something like, I allowed the sin to happen. It wasn't like his will, but he allowed it. And then because it helps me, I didn't quite get the ending of what you said. It helps me to, like, the weakness in me, like, suddenly, oh my God, like, I can't believe I did that, like, I'm weak, you know, and that way, and that shows his power.
Yeah, because it shows that, because he's perfect, right? And
yeah,
that I'm weak and I will need his power to become perfect. Otherwise, I will just use my power to become perfect. And so he has to let me keep falling flat on my face, because I'm trusting only in my power to keep me straight. And that's a slow learning for children, because at first they think that they can be good, and school teaches them to be good. At some point, they have to learn that they're bad. You know, it's always hard in school. I don't know that our system is set up so correctly. So you really hope that home and church teach that in my flesh dwells no good thing. So they will also have to learn, like, to ask God to help them in their little understanding and their limited understanding to be good. Otherwise, they will only know their own strength. And God also has to teach them his strength, just as much as he has to teach us. And when we get older, same idea. You know, if we think that we can handle our own sin, then what do I need God for? Unfortunately, you would say, well, you would want God for the relationship for everything. Yeah, sure. But it'll be a relationship in my mind of equals. I'm able to take care of me and you. And there's you, which is horrific. So God has to, that's another thing. It helps keep things in which is called transcendence. It helps keep things in perspective. God transcends me. It's not like, oh, but when I am not aware of my own sin and whatever, I don't necessarily have a idea of that. I can, you know, I love God, but I love God almost like I love ice cream, you know, like I love an equal. But he's God, you know, and he wants to be understood that he's God, you know. Like, you don't want that as a relationship. Like, the worst thing a teacher can do is when any of the students are just buddy with them, buddy, buddy. No, no, no. He or she is always teacher, and you are always student. And it's disastrous. When I did youth ministry, it's disastrous. We could always tell the teen leaders that have crossed lines, because the teens walked all over them, all over them. And it's like they crossed that line, and then you couldn't teach them anything. You couldn't, like, you ruin that. If I make God my buddy, then he can't teach me. And if he can't teach me, then I'll never really grow. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Like, we want, you're like, oh, it's a big deal. Well, that is a big deal, because I will never be more than I am today. And to me, that is scary. I want to be able to look at 10, 15 years from now, and I'm different. It's important to me. Or else there's no hope. I don't want to be myself in 10, 15 years. I know things that God, that I'd like him to take care of, things that I'd like to be different. But the only way that I can know that is God's power and my weakness. It is a key part to Christianity. John the Baptist says, he must increase, I must decrease. It isn't that God is not increasing. God is. I am. But he has to increase in my idea of him. Because unfortunately, my idea is a lot lower than reality. And again, going back to the nature of God, you can't get away on this topic without going back to the nature of God. The idea is that God still loves me and accepts me, even though my idea of him is very low. You know, like, you know, it would think, like, if you can't get it right, then don't come to me at all. You know, but we have a very low idea of him, and he still takes us and accepts us. You know, so it's interesting.
Amazing, great.
Amen.